Have you ever felt like you just had to wait on something and it just took forever? You just could not get to the end of it. At Christmas time this last year, I had exactly this happen. I am not known as a great gift giver. I do my best, but my best is not, to be honest, that good at all. And so I really thought I had this great gift thought of and found for Brandy, and I ordered it on time. It wasn't like I ordered it on December 23rd. I ordered it beginning of December, had plenty of time. I was so excited about that gift. Little did I know that this gift was coming from China. I thought that it was, down the road or something. I didn't know that it had to get on a boat and, sail across the seven seas in order to get to 717 Elm. That was brand new information for me. And as the time ticked closer to Christmas, you'd read that little tracking number, and it wasn't a UPS tracking number. That's when I knew that I had my first problem. It was China Post was my friend. And again, some of you have maybe had this. There was no action at all. All it said was pending. All it said then was pending was it's arrived in New Jersey. Well, it hadn't arrived in New Jersey. It was just a holding place. Turns out, conveniently, that sweater got here roughly January 1st or so, just waiting forever. And there was nothing I could do about it. There was nothing that I could do to speed this thing up. There was nothing I could do to make it any different. I just had to wait. And in the scheme of things, obviously, that's a really small thing. Turns out, it was not a good gift in the end. When we got it, opened it up, I was so excited about it, opened it up, garbage. But that's okay. We said, I do, till death do us part. So she's locked in. Luckily, she has a credit card, so she can get her own gifts, and it's wonderful, and it's just how we make our marriage work. That's a good tip for some of you husbands. Just give her a credit card, be fine. Small thing, but there are times that we wait on things that it's much more involved, right? You're waiting for maybe a job promotion or waiting to financially be in a little bit better place. For some of us, when we thought about our life and made some 5-year plans or some 10-year plans, we thought, boy, things are gonna be further along than they are. And you're in that same thing that I was at. I felt like I'm doing all the right things. And there's nothing that I can do to make this go any different. There's nothing I can do to make this go any faster. I mean, if you could have done something, you would have done it, right? You're in that same position I was. I'm trying to do all the right things. I tried to find something that she would like. I tried to order it in enough time that it would get here. Tried to do all the right things, and I'm still in that waiting game. In your life, sometimes you're gonna find yourself there. Waiting on a relationship to be better, waiting on am I really always gonna struggle with this temptation? I thought by this point I would be over that and here's the tension about waiting. Isn't it true that waiting makes us feel like we're out of control? We love control. I love being able to say, I'm gonna put this on my shoulders and it depends on me. If it succeeds, it's because I did a good job. If it fails, it's because I did a bad job, but at least I'm in control. Waiting, I'm out of control. There's nothing that I can do. And some of you are in that season. I don't know how long it's gonna take. There's nothing that I can do to speed up the process. I don't know how long it's gonna last. And what's even more frustrating is I don't necessarily see anything working behind the scenes. Even if I could see a little bit of progress, even when I was checking that tracking number, if there would have just been a daily little update, okay, now it's here and now it's here, I could have breathed a little bit more of a sigh of relief because, oh, I see that something's happening. But man, when you don't see any action at all, when there is absolutely no momentum, it's just a feeling of I'm so out of control. And some of you maybe feel like that today, that maybe you've been praying. And again, you're trying to do all the right things. You're trying to make the best decisions that you can, and you're asking God, God, can you help me with this, and can you work with me on this, and I'm really needing this, and it's real things, and it's important things. And you just feel like, is anything happening? I don't see anything in front of me, and I can't see that there's any momentum. I can't feel like there's any palatable kind of moving it forward. I just feel like I'm in this waiting game. And so here's what we're gonna talk about this morning. If you're in that season now, or if at some point in the future you find yourself there, hopefully today we're gonna answer some questions that maybe you've asked. But here's what we're not gonna do. I can't speed anything up for you. I can't make anything happen. I can't make anything go faster. I can't stop or start anything. And that's not my my goal today, because that's just not reality. My goal today is instead, can I have a little bit of encouragement while I'm in the waiting season? Waiting seasons happen for all of us. You will find yourself at different times and seasons of your life in what we might call the waiting room. And I'm not here to try to get you out of the waiting room this morning. Maybe that's a sermon someday, one day. But my hope this morning is, when I'm in it, how can I not lose hope? When I'm in the waiting time, how can I maintain and maybe even grow my faith in God? So here's the big idea this morning. If you're taking notes, if you're watching online, if you fall asleep or whatever that happens to you, keep a hold of this, that in the waiting, I can wait with God when I'm waiting on God. That the idea that as I'm waiting on God to do what I'm asking God to do, like I'm praying, I'm doing everything that I know how to do, and I'm waiting on God to do what he's going to do, in that season, I can wait with God. That I can say, I'm not in this alone. I'm not waiting by myself. I'm waiting with God while I'm waiting on God. And if I can just have enough faith to choose to wait with God, what'll happen is I don't suddenly try to do an end around God. I don't try to put a square peg in a round hole. I don't try to manipulate things. I don't try to force things that aren't ready. I can just have enough faith that, okay, God, you're with me while I'm waiting on you. And so to the best of my ability, with the grace that you give me, I'm going to wait well. I'm going to wait well. And so this morning, hopefully, we'll discover four things, just really practical, that will help us to just, again, in that waiting room, give us that encouragement that the waiting isn't wasted. That the waiting isn't this, God is punishing me in this. Sometimes he's actually growing me through it. So four truths that you can maybe hold on to in your waiting season. Here's four and we'll be done for the day. When you're tired of waiting, here's what I want you to do. Would you just trust that God's timing is always right? I mean, waiting, one of the reasons that waiting is so hard, at least for me, is that I can't see the whole picture of my life. I see this one little thing that I need changed, that I want so much for it to be different, and I can't figure out how the piece of the puzzle that I see is fitting into the grand scheme of things. My perspective is so immediate and so momentary, and what I can do when I trust God, I can say, God has a bigger perspective than me, that he sees further than I can see. And some of you have had this happen. Because there are some things that you know now that you wish you would have known back then, and now some things that you didn't understand 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, when you were in college, when you were in high school, whatever that looked like, now some things make sense that didn't make sense then. Why? You've got perspective. You saw some things. What we did have a difficulty in the moment, I can only see right now. God sees the perspective. God's timing is rarely our timing, but it's always the right timing. I want so much for God to do the things on my timetable. I want so much for God to do things the way that I want him to do them, when I want him to do it, how I want him to do it, because I only see just this moment. But some of us, with the gift of time and with the gift of perspective, look back and say, oh, I'm so glad that God didn't do that. Oh, I'm so glad that God allowed this. Oh, I'm so grateful that God moved some things or didn't move some things, because now I see that that relationship was gonna be a disaster. Now I see that that job wasn't gonna work out. Now I see what I couldn't see. Then Isaiah the prophet said it this way, my thoughts to God are not your thoughts. They're not, that he has a different way of thinking. He has a different way of seeing, that my ways are not your ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That when we see the momentary thing, it's so easy to get frustrated. God, I need this to hurry up and finish. I need this to be done. I need this to get fixed. And God's timing is, it's better. And we see it moment by moment, minute by minute, but God sees it from the end to the beginning. And we have to have enough trust in God that, God, you must see and you must know something that I don't see, something that I don't know. If you've ever planted a garden, you understand this. You plant a seed in the soil, and then what do? You trust that things are happening behind the scenes that you can't see. You trust that even though from the outside I don't see anything happening, I trust that that seed and that soil is doing what it's supposed to do. And so you just wait. You just trust that there's things happening that I can't see, but eventually, if I'll be patient, I'm going to have evidence of what was happening all along. But if you were to plant a seed and then a week later go and look, wait a minute, there's nothing happening. I don't see any growth. I don't see any change. And if you were to go dig that thing up, well, you'd ruin it. If you were to try to figure out what's going on and dig that thing up, you would see that there were some little sprouts and there was some little growth happening under the surface that you couldn't see. But by digging it up and by being impatient and trying to force something, well, I've really missed some things up. And some of us can have stories like that. That we got tired of waiting, and so we tried to force something. Tried to force the relationship. We tried to force the opportunity. We tried to fit the square peg in the round hole. That we said, God, you're not doing anything. I don't see what you're doing, and so now it's up to me. And there's some of us that would say, man, I wish I could go back. I wish I could go back and just trust that God knew what he was doing all along. I didn't have enough trust in him to wait on his time. And I love what Habakkuk says. The vision is for, it's for a future time. Now I want what my vision is to be for this time because I feel like I need it right now. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. That's the promise that we have from God, that God is working behind the scenes. But if it seems slow, and for some of us, that's where we're at today, it just seems so slow. How can I speed this up? What can I do to make this faster? If it seems slow in coming, this is hard for us. Wait patiently. Why can I wait patiently? Because God's trustworthy. The only way for me to wait patiently is to trust that God knows what he's doing. The only way for me to wait patiently is to trust that God sees better than more and further than I can see. Wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. To which we push back and we say, well, it is delayed. But again, we're working on our timeline. I'm working in the moment by moment, and God sees the very end from the beginning. God, here's good news for us, and it's hard for us to comprehend, but God isn't late, but he's not early either. Sometimes my preference would be, well, God, could you just be a little early? But God's timing, it's not always our timing, but it's the right timing. There's things happening that we don't see, and so we're invited to trust. Not only are we invited to trust, but we're invited to stay faithful where we are. So I'm trusting that God is working behind the scenes, that he sees and knows more than I see. And then in the time where I'm in that waiting season, I'm just gonna choose to stay faithful, that I trust that God is doing what only God can do. And in the meantime, I'm gonna do what he's called me to do. That while I'm waiting for God to work in the future, I'm going to choose to be obedient today. In the waiting, there's some things that I don't know. How is it going to work out? What's going to happen? When is this finally going to change? When will these be different? There's all sorts of things that I don't know, but there are some things that I do know in the moment, that God has been clear. This is how to live. This is how to relate with people. This is how to interact with people that you don't like. This is how you should live your life. And so while I'm waiting on God to do what only he can do and waiting on him to do what I can't see, there are things that I can do today. I know what God wants me to do. I know how God wants me to live. I know how God wants me to behave. I know how God wants me to think. I know how God wants me to see. And so I'm going to be faithful with what I do know and with what I can do while I'm waiting on God to do what only he can do. That waiting isn't passive. It's an opportunity, if we'll think of it this way, to prepare. A gardener doesn't plant seeds and then walk away. A gardener plants seeds and then what do? They water it. They pull out the weeds, they feed it, they tend to it. And it's not you're the person making it grow, but you do have a part to play in preparing an environment for it to grow. You're not the one that makes that seed sprout, but you do have some responsibility in making sure the ground is okay. And the same is true in my life. That as I'm waiting and trusting on God to do what only he can do, I can prepare my life and I can prepare my heart and I can live in such a way that it prepares my life to be a life that God can use. Listen, if you are drowning in financial debt and you're trusting and waiting. God, would you please provide? And we're waiting for God to do what he can do. Well, in the meantime, I can be a little bit more wise with my spending. I can maybe budget a little bit more. Maybe I need to have a garage sale. There's some practical things that I can do while I'm waiting on God to do. For some of us, we're waiting on a relationship. Single, don't want to be single. I'm looking for somebody, and I'm trying my best to be patient and wait on God. But in the meantime, I can be the person that I need to be while I'm waiting on God to bring another person into my life. When I was younger and I was talking to more younger single guys, that they were waiting on a relationship. Sometimes we tell them, listen, the person that you are today is not a person that the girl you want to be with would be attracted to. You're not living in such a way that the person you're hoping for would ever be attracted to. Go get a job. Would you consider that? I mean, maybe take a bath more than one time a week. There are some things that you can do. I would tell the guys this, if you met the right person today, you would not be the right person for them because you're just not it. And so you can make some changes. You can do some things practically that waiting, again, it's not just passive. I'm just waiting on God. Well, what has God called me to do while I'm waiting on him? In other words, here's a question for you to wrestle with. What are you doing to prepare for God's timing? What are you doing to prepare for God's timing? What can I be faithful in? What can I be obedient in? What have I said? I'm not going to do that, but I want God to do something for me. Sometimes we can be so bold in our faith that we say, God, I want you to do this thing for me, and then the things that we already know we're supposed to do, the way that we know we're supposed to live, we just disregard that. God, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna live that type of life. Now, I do want you to do some things for me, but today's obedience is not that important. And here's what that means for us. If we find ourselves in that place, what we really have is faith in a genie in a bottle, that God just becomes somebody that does things for us on our timeline. But when we have a God, when we have a King, when we have a Lord, when we have a Savior that says, okay, I have done something so extraordinary on your behalf that I've brought a bridge between humanity and God. Now, here's the way that I want you to live because of that. I'm obedient. I don't want to just have this gift giver. I have a King. And the King says, here's how I want you to live. And so while I'm waiting on him to do what only he can do, I need to be faithful, I need to be obedient, I need to be available for him to do what he wants to do in my life today. Psalm says it this way, trust in the Lord. That's the trust part, we just talked about it. And what do? We do good. Two sides of the same coin. Trust, well, what does trust look like? I'm willing to wait on God. I'm not gonna force it. I'm not gonna manipulate things. I'm not gonna try to get God to do something that he's not ready to do. So I'm trusting, and what do I need to do? What type of life do I need to live? What has God already made clear to me that I need to do in the meantime? Sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, and maybe you can relate, sometimes we ask God for the next step, but we haven't been faithful with the current step. That we're waiting on God to do something in the future, but we haven't done what God's called us to do today. And I think sometimes God waits on us. Trust in the Lord and do good. And so the question that you can wrestle with is, what has God given me to be faithful with while I wait? Waiting is gonna happen for all of us. We're all gonna be in times of waiting. And in the waiting season, I can choose to be faithful with what I can do. And so that's the second one. The third one's this, that when I'm tired of waiting, here's what I can do. I can let God strengthen me. I can't speed it up for you. Can't make it come any faster. But I can trust God. I can be faithful with what he's called me to do, and I can let him strengthen me in the moment, in that waiting season. And for some of us, waiting lasts for a month. Some of it is last a year. Some of us have been waiting for years and years and years. And we're getting a little bit tired of waiting. And sometimes we get into the position, we think, this is just waiting. And this waiting is wasted. I'm just wasting some of the best years of my life. I'm wasting this season. I'm wasting away. I don't know what else I can do to make it happen. And we think, well, if I'm not moving forward, I must be stuck. Maybe I need to give up on this. Maybe I ought to quit praying. Maybe God doesn't care. Maybe God isn't listening. But what if we shifted our perspective? What if it isn't so much about just being stuck? What if it's about God's working in us? What if God is strengthening us? And what if God is sharpening us? And what if God is deepening our faith in that waiting season? What if the most important thing isn't what you're waiting on, but instead what's happening in you while you're waiting? Because we think that the most important thing is out there. I need God to do this. I need help with this. I need God to fix this. And in our mind, in our perspective, that out there is the most important. That is the priority. But God's perspective is what's happening inside of you. Because what's happening inside of you is way more important. As God develops our character, as God develops our faith, as God develops our strength, that's more important than something someday out there. In other words, what God is doing in you is more important than what you're waiting on. And I know that you're waiting on something important. And I know that thing that you're praying for and believing for and asking God to help you with and asking God to fix, I know that that's important. I'm not trying to make it less important. But what's happening in your heart, what's happening in your faith in God is way more important, because what's happening here is going to last. The thing that we're waiting on, well, that's in the scheme of things, it's fairly momentary. Most of us focus, and I'm guilty of this. I've got places to grow in my life. I'm not, hey, if you would just do it the way that I would do it, I'm not saying that. I've got opportunity to grow. But most of us focus on, when is the breakthrough coming? When is it all going to finally come together? When are all the pieces going to be put into place? When will my situation change? When will I get what I'm praying for? When? And those are good questions. Those are important questions. And I would love to pray with you and believe God for the breakthrough to come. But maybe a more important question is, God, what are you teaching me? Where are you strengthening me? Where are you sharpening me? What are you doing in me while I'm waiting on you to do something for me? James, the brother of Jesus, said this: consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials. And that's hard for us. It's hard for me to think of a waiting season and a trial and something that I wouldn't wish for myself. It's hard for me to consider it joy. Why should we do that, James? Well, because there's a different perspective available. Because you know, he goes on to say, that the testing of your faith, it produces something. Now, for some of us, what it's producing in us is frustration. The waiting is producing frustration, it's producing tension, and James says you can have a different perspective. That if I don't consider the waiting seasons great joy, if I consider them God is trying to hurt me, or God just isn't interested in me, or God isn't listening, then I'm gonna consider that and I'm going to find it frustrating. But James says it can produce, if you have the right perspective, it can produce endurance. And then we can let endurance have its full effect so that I can be mature. That's what God wants for you. God wants not so much for you to have the things out there. He wants you to be the person in here. Mature, complete, lacking nothing. That God is more interested in my transformation to become more and more changed into the image of Christ than he is my timeline. My focus, for the most part, is on the timeline. When's it gonna happen? How's it all gonna work? When's this gonna take place? When am I gonna have the breakthrough? Timeline, timeline, timeline. God is saying, I wanna transform you. I wanna change you. I want you to be shaped and formed more and more into the image of Christ, that his agenda is different than my agenda. My agenda is I need that. My agenda is I need that to change. I need that to get fixed. Can you fix this for me? God's agenda is what's happening on the inside. How's your heart? How's your faith? How's your trust? Our agenda is getting through this season. And God's agenda is I can grow you. I can strengthen you while you're in the season. Deuteronomy said it this way: remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for those 40 years. Some of you can relate to that. It's what you feel like. I'm just in the wilderness. There's no growth happening. It's dry. I just feel like I'm going through the motions. Just remember that. Sometimes it's humbling because we feel like we should be in places that we're not. My friends have it and I don't. The people that I associate with have already gotten there and I haven't. It just feels humbling and it's testing you. Why are we being tested? Well, how's your character? Because all of us have faith in God when life is going great. All of us trust God when my life is exactly the way that I want my life to be. It's easy to trust God there because God's doing all the things that I want him to do. What he's saying is, what about when you're in the wilderness? Do you still trust? Do you still have faith? Because that's when you need it. You don't need faith when life is perfect. You need faith when you're in that 40 years of wilderness. God, are you even listening? Are you even hearing? Are you even involved or interested in my life? Are my prayers even reaching your ears? That's when, how's my character? Do I really have faith in God? Or have I placed my faith in just a gift giver? There's the tension. And so the waiting season, they can grow us, and we find out whether or not, am I gonna obey God? What a line. God sometimes, in his mercy, allows waiting seasons in our life, and the question that he's asking is, do you obey God when things aren't going great? Are you faithful when it doesn't seem like God is being faithful to you? Are you doing the right things when it doesn't feel like the right things are happening to you? Or are you just have the perspective of I'll follow God as long as God is doing everything that I want him to do, but when God doesn't do what I don't want him to do, well, I'm gonna go my own way and do my own thing, and I'm gonna force my way through this because God's not doing it for me. Do we obey his commands? Is God the God of my life? Here's a question to wrestle with. Or is God just a means to an end? For some of us, we can, if we're not careful, if we're really honest, we're just, you know, don't tell anybody, but just if we're just kind of in the quietness of our heart, sometimes we can realize, oh, I've allowed God to just be a means to an end. He's just the one I go through to get things. But I don't know if he's really God. God invites, I want to be Lord of your entire life, of the wilderness seasons and of the mountaintop seasons. I want to be God of your life when it's good and when it's bad. And I want you to trust me enough to obey my commands in whatever season of life you find yourself in, because I am God. I am King. I am Lord. That's what we're invited to. And God, if we'll let him, will strengthen us in the waiting season. And here's the last one, that when I'm tired of waiting, I can hold on to God's promises. That one of the biggest reasons I think waiting is hard, at least for me, is because I have this assumption, and I don't know where I found this. Maybe it's just 21st century living, I don't know. But I have this assumption that if God loved me, he would do this for me. If God really loved me, of course I would have this. If God really loved me, then he would do all these things for me. And there's this tension that I feel that I'd say, well, if I was God, I would have already done that. If I was God, I would have already answered that prayer. And what God invites us into is that there are some promises that we've been given. But the promises that we've been given is not that life is smooth and wrinkle-free every moment of every day. I would wish more than anything that the more I follow God, the smoother my life is. I wish more than anything that the more obedient to God I am, that the easier and more carefree my life is. And that is just simply not the reality. And so when I conflate what God is doing or not doing in my life to how much he loves me, I can find myself in that tension. And God hasn't promised to give me everything I ask for, but he has promised to give me everything I need. Do I want God to give me everything I ask for? Of course I do. That's why I asked for it. But that's not God's promise. And so if I conflate that God seems to be withholding something from me, and if I assume that is a measure of his love for me, I'm going to be really frustrated. But when I can recognize that God's promise is not that he'll give me everything, but he will supply all of my needs, then I can hold on to that promise. Paul said it this way, that this is the same God who takes care of me. Well, he's going to supply all of your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. This, in the waiting season, is a promise you can hold on to. You can grab onto this. This is a promise. God has not promised, go to that next slide, God has not promised to fix everything instantly. I wish he would. I wish I'd have a problem, God fix it. But he has promised to work everything for good. Oh, wouldn't it be great if God was just the vending machine, God fix this for me. And I wish that was a promise. It's just not. But here's what Romans said. We know Here's a promise. God causes everything, the waiting seasons, the tension, the difficulty, the challenges, to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. And so that is a promise that I can hold on to. That's a promise that I can place the weight of my life on. One more. This isn't all inclusive, but here's just three promises you can have. God has not promised to explain everything to me. Some things I don't know. Some things I don't understand. Some things I don't get. But he has promised to never leave me. You've got some questions about God. God, how could you? God, why would you? If I was, I wouldn't have. Reasonable. But God hasn't promised to explain everything to us. My mind is so finite. My mind is so momentary. But what God has promised is in the questioning and in the tension and in the, I don't understand. Well, he's with us in that, Deuteronomy. Hey, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord will, listen how loving and how connected that will personally go ahead of you. He's with you. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to abandon you. That's a promise. That's what you can hold on to. And I know that you want the waiting season to be over. So do I. But God has not promised that. That God's promise, that he's with us, that he can strengthen us, that he can sharpen us, and even if whatever we're hoping for and praying for and wishing for never comes through, I can hold on to God's promises. I can be safe and secure in him, knowing that God has my best interest in mind. Knowing that the things that I am, that God is withholding from me, there must be a reason. And I don't have to know what it is because I know who God is. I know that I can trust him. I know that he is faithful. Holding on to God's promises means trusting in his character, not my preferred outcome. That's a big shift. I want so much my preferred outcome. I want so much this thing to happen or this thing not to happen or for my circumstances to be changed. But if I can, in that waiting, if I can say, God, your character, that's what I'm gonna trust. That it, faith is not about trusting that God is gonna do what I want. It's trusting that God, you are who you say you are. You're faithful, you are kind, you are an ever-present help in times of trouble. And so in the waiting, you are with me. Last thing, and then we're gonna be done for the day. Waiting. Waiting isn't just about what's ahead. It's about what God is doing right now. What is God doing in me right now? So that I can trust that God's timing is always right. I can stay faithful where I am in the moment. I can let God transform me and I can hold on to God's promises. This is what we started with. Waiting is not wasted when you're waiting with God. That's what I want for you this week. That's what I want for you in this waiting season, that you hold your confidence. God, I'm gonna, while I'm waiting on you, I'm gonna wait with you. While I'm waiting on you to do what only you can do, I'm gonna wait with you, trusting that you must know more than I have. If you've got a phone, if you have a piece of paper, I want you to take a picture or write down the reference for this verse, lastly, as we close for this morning, and put it on your fridge, make it your iPhone screensaver, because I just think that if you can hold on to this promise of God, I think it can buoy you. I think it can anchor you in these waiting seasons. It's Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. That's what I want for you. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. And I know that waiting is hard. I'm with you. I've been waiting myself. But the Lord is good to those who will say, God, I want so much to fast forward through this. I want so much to do an end around. I want so much to manipulate this. I want so much to just take this control and I'm going to force it through. But the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the one who seeks him. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, some this morning are, this is their reality, that waiting is what they're doing today. And they haven't just been waiting for a week, they've been waiting for months, been waiting for years. And so Lord, I'm praying that this morning you would strengthen them. Lord, I'm praying that you would shape them, that you would help them to be anchored with your promise, that you've never left them, that you've never forsaken them, that you cause all things to work together for those who love you and are called according to your purpose, that you provide all that we need according to your riches and glory. And so, Lord, for those that are in that season today, would you build their faith? Would you help them to take that next step of faithfulness towards you? Would you encourage them that the things that they're doing are not wasted, that you are working behind the scenes, that you are working in ways that we can't see? And so help us to not get impatient. Help us to not take back control, but to just choose, I'm going to wait on you to do what you can do, and I'm going to be faithful with what I can do. Lord, for those that are going to need this sometime down the road, sometime in the future, would you keep this promise that you have given us in the back of their mind so that when they find themselves in that waiting season, they can be anchored. And Lord, I'm praying for hearts that are hurting because of the waiting, and hearts that are confused and are questioning, why is this happening? And I wish that we had all the answers. I wish that we could put everything so neatly in a box and tie it in a bow. But Lord, when we're so confused and we're so uncertain and we don't know why you would allow and why would you do and why wouldn't you do, Lord, I'm just praying that the peace of God that passes all understanding would guard our hearts and mind as we trust in you. Grow our faith today, Lord. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.